Which cause we faint not, but though our outward men perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the very same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Beautiful words, beautiful song. I think one of the prettiest ever written. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. What a delight it is for me to be able to spend these 30 minutes devotionally with you as we talk often of the goodness of the Lord, his love, his mercy, his tenderness, his compassion, the home that he has prepared for those who love him. Oh, that's the catch, isn't it? It's not for everybody. No, it's not universal. God wishes it to be so. The golden text gives us the wish of his heart, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is God's will. That's his wish. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But alas, not everybody wants to come to repentance. Not everyone wants to put their trust in Christ the Savior, quit their sinning, see their lives changed, start walking in the road that leads to heaven, and get off the road that leads to hell and destruction. Many people don't want that. And so, heaven is prepared for those who love him. Doesn't the Bible say, "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard"? Neither has it entered the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. And Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, do what I say." And so we demonstrate every day in our daily living whether or not we really love the Lord. It's one thing to say it, and it's another thing for our lives to show it. How you act, how you talk, how you walk, how you respond to people, the tone in your voice, your behavior, the thoughts that you entertain, in all these ways, we show whether or not we really love the Lord. Because if we love him, then it becomes the delight of our soul to please him in word, in deed, in thought, in everything. And then we can say, because of our trust in Jesus as our Savior, and because we do love him, then we can say, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." What confidence, what faith, what trust. And then all the bad things that happen are just light affliction, which are momentary. It's just temporary stuff, just for a moment. And dear friend, it's going to be worth it all when we see Jesus. I came across this recording of a song I think is just absolutely beautiful. It was written by Mosey Lister, entitled "At the Crossing." You know, for many centuries, the River Jordan has been that symbol of crossing from this life into eternal life, going beyond the river, just like the children of Israel crossed over Jordan and entered into Canaan. Now, I'm not sure if Canaan is the perfect type of heaven, even though people have put that in songs and we've preached about entering into Canaan. Probably more realistically, Canaan is a type of the victorious Christian life, because as they crossed over Jordan into Canaan, they had to fight and to war and to overcome the enemy. And in heaven, there will be no enemy. There will be no Canaanites to overcome. Thank God for that. So Canaan probably is a better type of spiritual warfare, and not warring against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the things of darkness. But anyway, down through the centuries, the River Jordan has been taken as a symbol of death, of passing out of this world into the next. Even John Bunyan, in his classic Pilgrim's Progress, depicts Christian and his companion Hopeful of crossing the river before they came to the celestial city. I want you to listen to the words of this song by Mosey Lister. I think it is so pretty. "As we stand at that crossing, though the river be deep and wide, the Christian has no need of fear. You don't have to be afraid when you come to that crossing, because God said, 'When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee.' and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And he promised, I will go with you even to the end. Surely he would not abandon his child after being with you all your life long. Since you have given your heart to him, do you think that when you stand at the brink of the river that is so deep and so wide that he would suddenly abandon you? Of course not. And because of this, we need no fear when it comes to standing at the crossing and crossing that river, because of the Lord who loves us. Listen to the words. I think it's beautiful. Give such a message at the crossing.
Show you a mystery.
We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What a promise. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. How many times have you read those words? Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. How fast is that? Well, evidently, it is instantaneously. You know this coming a resurrection morning. And listen, to the Christian, I'm not talking about morbid stuff. I'm talking about the joy of the Christian's life. Even as the apostle said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. This is a joyful thing. As we think about our life and how quickly the days and hours and moments are passing, and to realize that our hope is not just temporary in this life only, with all the ups and downs and disappointments and unfairnesses and everything else that happens, but our hope is in God forever and ever, for eternity, and that when we come to the end of this life, which we most certainly shall, and we kid ourselves when we make ourselves believe that we're going to be here forever. You know better than that. I know better than that. There will come a day when the summons will come from on high, and every one of us will enter into God's presence. To the sinner, that's a terrifying thought. To the Christian, that's a beautiful thought. Because now we walk by faith, not by sight. But someday we shall see Him face to face. And does that not fill the heart with glory? It does mine. Anytime I think of it, anytime I read those words that Jesus gave to His disciples in the upper room just before His arrest by the Roman soldiers in Gethsemane, His trial before Pilate, His crucifixion, just before that He said to His disciples that night, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And any time I read those words, it strikes a keynote of hope and joy and victory. There's nothing dismal there, nothing morbid there. That's the joy of the Christian. And I shall see Him face to face and tell the story, saved by grace. When the hour comes that we have to cross that river, we don't have to be scared, because the Lord is there holding our hand. If we belong to Him, if we love Him, if Jesus lives in our hearts, we have everything to live for right now, and we have everything waiting for us when we come to that crossing, don't we? Oh Lord, support us all the day long, until the shadows lengthen and the evening comes and the busy world is hushed and the fever of life is over and our work is done. Then in Thy mercy grant us a safe lodging and a holy rest and peace at the last. What a glad, wonderful morning of resurrection that is going to be. And at the sound of the trumpet, we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And if you find out how fast the twinkling of an eye is, please let me know. All I know is it's fast, fast. In a moment of time, the mortal shall give place to immortality. Awake, arise to greet the morn. Welcome the rays of the rising sun. There is life and healing for one and all, and we shall go leaping like calves from the stall. Blow ye the trumpet, sound the alarm, that all may awake to greet the morn. That's what it's going to be on that resurrection morning. Oh, dear friend, just think. Just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven. Of touching a hand and finding it God's hand. Of breathing new air and finding it celestial. Of waking up in glory and finding it home. And finding it home. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Oh, praise God. Can you say, Praise the Lord? These are the promises of God. I embrace them. I write my name over them. I claim them as my own. You do the same. By faith in Jesus. Well, I have enjoyed these moments that we've shared together in a period of devotions. This is John Thrasher. Thanks for listening. Our mailing address, Morning Devotions, Post Office Box 552, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. As the program goes off the air, I want you to listen to this pretty song, a recording by Roy Rogers and Dale Evans, Home Where I Belong. And it talks about that same heavenly home I've been talking to you about.
Say that heaven's pretty and living here is too. But if they said that I would have to choose between the two, I'd go home, going home where I.
Sometimes when I'm dreaming, it comes as no surprise that if you look, you'll see the homesick feeling in my eyes. I'm going home, going home where I.
When death knocks on my door, and I'll awake to find that I'm not homesick anymore, 'cause I'll be home.